back, 5:24 in the afternoon. We appreciate you being with us, and we continue to talk about law and order and the lack of it increasingly in this country. And there's no one better to tap into what in the world's going on in that realm than Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, spokeswoman for the National Police Association. How you doing, Betsy? Thanks for being with me.
Hey, thanks for having me back. I sure appreciate it.
You know, it just seems like whether it's shootings in California, whether it's lootings in San Francisco, I mean, the vandalism and larceny in San Francisco, it's just riots in Atlanta, and now it seems like some kind of a coordinated anti-cop riot protocol we're seeing in other cities. This thing's getting it's already been out of hand, but it's escalating to the point that it's like a pressure cooker. What is going on with Cop City protests? What is that all about?
Well, Cop City is what what Antifa and other activists have dubbed the 381-acre complex that is being built in DeKalb County, Georgia. Of course, this is Atlanta. And, you know, this was all planned, I think it was over 2 years ago. And what they're doing is they're building classrooms and an active shooter training facility and a driving track, all those things that law enforcement officers need. Let's go back to post-George Floyd, when we had so many people in this country, politicians and media and activists saying, cops need more training. They need to do this. They need to do that. Let's go to Uvalde, Texas, where everybody said, why weren't these cops trained properly to deal with an active shooter? What's Atlanta, Georgia trying to do? They're trying to build a state-of-the-art training facility so that cops can learn how to do their jobs better. But what we have are these little echo protesters, and then we have the infiltration of Antifa coming in. They shot a state trooper, and what happened? One of the activists got shot and killed because of that. Then we had protests in Boston, and I just saw an hour ago that we're going to have related protests in L.A., and I think that you are absolutely right that this is going to blow up probably over the weekend or next week if American law enforcement doesn't get a handle on it.
I would think if I was an officer in training, I would cherish a state-of-the-art facility that would probably feature not only best practices, but best practices utilizing, you know, the very latest technology to keep the public safe, to keep me safe, and to, you know, root out the bad guys. And I just, the very community, I mean, Atlanta and other urban areas and metropolitan areas are where the very nature of the criminality in that area is concentrated, and yet these people that are protesting are counterproductive, aren't they? Because the people that need the protection are not going to get it with these kind of activities.
Well, and that's a problem. And I believe what is happening, you know, they talk about, oh, the police officers, or the community, the city is destroying this 381 acres of forest. Have you ever been to Georgia? The whole place is forest. So there's plenty of forest in Georgia. There's plenty of forest in that area. But what you have is a couple of things. First of all, you have a bunch of squatters that have tent camps in that 381 acres. They don't want to have to move because they don't want to have to pay for an apartment. They don't want to have to live like normal society lives. And then I believe that you have, you know, Antifa and somewhat to a lesser degree Black Lives Matter activists who really haven't had much to protest in the last several months, really to the last year. And they need something to protest because that's how they get paid. That's how they get satisfied. You know, remember, a lot of these Antifa people that were arrested, 6 out of the 7 that were arrested in Atlanta, Georgia, we're not even from the area. So you just have people that are going to travel around. They're going to protest, you know, and let's not forget that we had the House Minority Whip, Catherine Clark's son, was arrested in Boston defacing a monument in the city, you know, to putting ACAB on it, which stands for All Cops Are Bastards.
Oh.
These are people with nothing to do. These are people with no morality that want to attack American law enforcement and continue on with the 2.5 years of the demonization of this profession, of the people who have been trying to go out and keep you and me safe.
Well, to their credit, the officials down there, the prosecution and the system has only granted bond to 2 of the 6 suspects. The other, who are charged with domestic terrorism, have not been granted bond, which, you know, that's if there's any positive news, at least they weren't released like they tend to do in places like New York. So that's good. But you raise a good point about the nature of these people. These are professional. We shouldn't use the word protesters, right? Even though the mainstream media, the legacy media wants to use that. These are terrorists. They're professional terrorists at some level. And you know what's worrisome to me? And I have to admit, I'm sort of old fashioned. Even though my wife is capable of lifting the 40-pound dog food out of the back of her truck, she's capable of doing things. I tend to do that. I tend to open doors for women. Forgive me for that. Three of these domestic terrorists were young ladies. And I'm sorry, that just makes it even worse for me. I mean, what have we come to? It's like Mad Max, isn't it? Around the whole terrorism industry at this point.
Well, again, when you look at these activists, let's look at those 3 young women. Modern feminism is telling them to be angry and to go out and you know, activate and be angry and this and that. They're part of the I have no doubt that they are part of the abortion. You know, we've got to be able to do what we want, pro-abortion, pro-this, anti-bail, anti-incarceration movement around this country. But I want to point one thing out to people that I hope they're noticing. You know, something that you said is very important. Most of those rioters, those terrorists, because they were charged with terrorism, they weren't let out. This Atlanta is not Portland, Oregon. And I hope that people are recognizing when you deal with protesters, and we did, my agency, 20 years ago, you know what we did when we arrested them? We put them in jail. We got the prosecutors to keep them there. And then we prosecuted them. And you know what? They stopped coming to our town. And I think that's where Atlanta is headed.
Yeah, I think what I heard there was a plea for the public to put pressure on prosecutors to back the police up when they arrest these thugs, these rioters, these whatever kind of crime they arrest them for. Let's back them up, because, I mean, it can't be more frustrating than to see these people, you know, you put your life at risk to protect the public. You bring them in, you haul them in, and depending on the jurisdiction, they might be out on the street in a couple hours. I mean, it's outrageous. So I think it is incumbent on the public to really put the pressure on prosecutors. And if it means a recall like we saw in San Francisco, so be it. Mm-hmm. Even better, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, people need to understand that when we let these people out on low cash bail or no cash bail, they come out and they tend to reoffend. And it's not just cops they're attacking, although 60,000 police officers every year are assaulted in this country. But mostly, what are these career criminals doing? They're assaulting and they're victimizing our citizens, us, you and me. And that's what American law enforcement is trying to stop. And I think that's what most people in this country want. They want good law enforcement, and they want to just go about their daily lives, not worrying about being victimized by some thug or some Antifa activist or whatever it is. And I really applaud Atlanta, Georgia, and that area for taking these terrorist activities seriously. And I hope that this weekend, as this continues, I hope they take it seriously in Boston and L.A. and undoubtedly Portland and Seattle, because they protest everything. Wherever it is, I hope these Cop City protests are met with the full force of the law.
Talking with Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, a spokeswoman for the National Police Association. I got to ask you something. What do you know? Is there a general profile? You mentioned earlier these rioters, in this case, domestic terrorists. Thank God they're charged with that. And I think we need to, I hope everyone, prosecutors out there are listening. Are these trust fund babies who have nothing better to do? Who's funding them? I mean, you got to eat. You have to put clothes on your back. You have to go from Spokane, Washington, and Nashville, Tennessee. I mean, they're from all over. Only one was from Decatur in Georgia. The rest were from all over the country. I mean, where do these people get their subsistence? Who is funding these people? Do you know?
Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah, and for decades, what we've seen is, again, these are trust fund babies. In my jurisdiction, we used to have these protesters that would come, and they said that they were echo protesters and this and that. And they'd all pull up in their parents' SUVs with their Visa credit card to stay at the nicest hotels in town. And then they would come and protest whatever it is they want to protest. But here's the thing. Antifa is fairly well-funded. A lot of Antifa members are working professionals, college-educated working professionals, and they do this on vacation. Others are, again, like you said, trust fund babies. But, you know, there are organizations like George Soros's Open Society organization that funds these things, just like that organization and others fund those bail programs for people, like we saw now Vice President Kamala Harris talk about during the George Floyd riots in Minneapolis. You know, and she encouraged people to give money to those bail funds. It's all that same ilk. It's people, and who are these people? These are people that are disenfranchised, that are dissatisfied with their lives. And you know, quite frankly, they were either radicalized by their parents or by the education system. It's unlikely that they have any bit of God or religion in their lives. They probably don't really have much of a family structure. And they're angry. These were people that were extremely badly affected by the pandemic, by the shutdown. And now we have this. There's a lot of mental illness in these quote unquote activists, as well as we saw with Catherine Clark's son or daughter. We're not really sure which he or she is. And we've got to get a handle on this, but we can't tolerate this national hissy fit because Atlanta Police Department's building a police training center in a wooded area in DeKalb County, Georgia.
It's crazy. Your thoughts about consecutive days of mass shooting in the Asian community in California. And of course, right away, there will be ongoing call for gun control. It's become just the MO of the left every time that there's an event like this. What are your thoughts? Is this just one-off? These apparently, I think, one's a 72-year-old shooter. The other, I think, was a senior as well. Is this more of a cultural problem, or is there something else going on because of the location that these occurred and maybe their general policing? What do we know about it?
Well, yeah, these shootings are horrific. We had three mass shootings in California in the last 24 hours. Two in the Asian community, two, like you said, senior citizen, male Asians. The first one appears to be a domestic dispute, Monterey Park, a domestic dispute gone horribly wrong. Half Moon Bay appears to be some sort of worker dispute, and the people that were killed by the 66-year-old Asian male suspect, they were Chinese and Hispanic farm workers. But then again, you had a third shooting, seven people injured, one dead in Oakland. The suspect was not Asian, and I don't think is in custody. But I want to point out to people that California is the most gun-controlled state in this nation, and yet we have these three mass shootings. Now, Chicago has a mass shooting a week, pretty much. Chicago, Illinois, where I come from. Nobody gets excited about it. The governor doesn't come and make any statements. We're just used to that kind of life. And we've got to understand that just because Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, thinks that guns are a problem in his state doesn't mean guns are the problem.
Yeah.
What is the problem? Societal issues. Again, a broken criminal justice system that is far more pro-criminal than it is pro-law and order, pro-crime victim, pro-law enforcement, pro-American Constitution.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
And you talk about a broken criminal justice system, the experiment of liberalizing punishment and the age at which people are charged as adults is another issue. I was reading something from the Manhattan Institute the other day that after the movement to raise the age, I guess there's been New York State had enacted it and other places are considering or have done it. As you know, I guess what they do, they raise the age of criminal responsibility from 16 to 18 in that event. And guess what happens the year after? Criminality in the 16-year-olds go up. And the, you know what I mean? It's crazy. I mean, we've done the experiment, haven't we, Sergeant Brandner-Smith, that we've done the experiment of liberalizing and having a soft touch. That is not working. When is the system and when are the decision makers going to realize that?
And that's why Lady Justice wears a blindfold. This great experiment that we've been doing, you know, of restorative justice for the last 2.5 years has failed miserably. You know what, folks? Let's just admit it and go back to a blindfolded Lady Justice and a punitive criminal justice system where if you commit a crime, you get punished. And we don't look at how you were raised or the color of your skin or what gender you identify with or any of that. We look at your crime and we look at the law and we look at your crime victim and then you get punished and we do whatever we can to restore that crime victim, not restore you, the criminal who wasn't breastfed long enough or whatever your societal issue is.
Amen. And with that homily, we will let it go. Sergeant Betsy Brandner-Smith, it's always a delight. And we cherish this and every time we talk with you. And thank you for being there to help speak for the National Police through the National Police Association and a nonprofit that supports law enforcement and as well for the public safety that you all are about keeping despite all the headwinds. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Sergeant Betsy Brandner-Smith, she laid it out there, didn't she? Just because you weren't breastfed doesn't give you the right to go and shoot them up, people.